Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This show is about your personal experiences, so we want you to feel free to call in and share your experience with us and our audience. We know the world is waking up to the fact that there is no death, but we still have to be careful with whom we share these sacred experiences. And this is just the place where you can do that. I'm Betty Kovach here with Kimberly Saavedra from the Cumluck Center. Kimberly's about 80% with us. Her voice is going, and that's why I'm doing the introduction. And I'm also here with Janet Mayer. Janet is author of Spirits, They Are Present. And she is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation. So we want you to call in. Remember that this show is about you, and we want to hear from you. And I will give you a couple of numbers. The first one is 1-888-627-6008. The other one, 1-323-744-4831. So we'll be waiting to hear from you. In the meantime, Janet, what's going on with you?
Well, good evening, Betty and Kim. First of all, before we talk about that, I just also wanted to add that you have a couple books out there. You're the author of The Miracle of Death, There's Nothing But Life, and also Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That is Changing the World. And I just wanted to make sure I added those in because, you know, those are really great books. And I have actually... your book, The Consciousness That is Changing the World, I have to laugh because I have post-its in it. I have arrows, asterisks, you know, parentheses, everything you can imagine is in this book that if you look at it, you're like, what did I do to this book? But it's just a really good one. So I wanted to make sure people knew about that.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that, Janet.
Sure.
I should say, too, that the French producer, Anthony Shin, has made a documentary of the book, Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That's Changing the World. And I could just add, since we have a little time, there's no caller right now, that I've been so impressed with the people who have written me about the things that they have experienced, and also how the documentary helps them to connect the dots and fill in the missing spaces. But the most important thing was that so many people are having extraordinary experiences, and they're willing to share them, you know. So that's been really a wonderful thing to hear, and I've been writing with them. It's taken me a month or two to try to keep caught up with it, but I'm just really delighted that so many people are interested in developing the whole mind, which means the right brain and the heart that connects us to the cosmos. So thank you for bringing it up, Janet.
Sure. No. And, you know, I wanted people to know about it because it's just really cool. And it's wonderful that, you know, your work you're putting out there that really, I mean, here, at, you know, it Signs of Life every Thursday doing this, putting this together, and it's helping people and encouraging and helping people open up kind of in a safe place. That's kind of what, you know, how I look at it. And it allows people to, you know, kind of learn and be encouraged to connect with their loved ones. And I think that is so important because, you know, a lot of people, kind of like myself, you know, you were raised in a certain way to believe that, you know, when you die, they go off into this place, this wonderful place, and all is good. But, you know, because I had so many experiences growing up, I, you know, completely changed and reformed my views. And I think that when people are listening and it helps them become encouraged that, wow, all this time, even if I thought somebody, you know, I thought they were gone, they really can come around. And it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, personally feel like, you know, they're there 24/7. I feel like they know, they feel our light, they feel our energy when we really, really need it. And I've had people actually email me recently, a number of people, and they were saying, you know, I really enjoyed the reading, but gosh, I just feel so bad because so-and-so doesn't contact me right now. And it felt like it was so strong. And, you know, I feel like I sit here and think about it and I'm like, well, we have to let people know too that they are still around you, but you know, you have to still continue to live your life. You have to move forward and that they're still there and they will give you little clues along the way, little signs, little symbols to let you know that they're around and you just have to be aware. And my favorite saying, as you know, is pay attention. They're around you. You know, they are here. And that to me is really important.
Yes, I think yeah, that's such a good thing. I remember your saying all the time, pay attention.
Yeah.
But you know, things have changed so much since I was young. You know, there were people, Christians, I was among Protestant Christians growing up in that area where I lived. And they believed that people went to heaven, but there was never much about it. And people grieved terribly, of course, when someone died and never talked about contacting them or being in touch with them. And the rest of the world that I was around didn't think there was anything at all, that when you were dead, that was it. And so I grew up with such a horror of death. It just seemed, what is this all about? If I am asked to come into a world, or at least I find myself in a world in which I can love so deeply, and then I have to give all of that up, never, ever, to be with that person or those people again. It seems so useless, and well, not useless, but purposeless and meaningless to love so deeply and then to lose that. And my mother had lost her mother when she was very young, and her mother had lost her mother when she... So I was absolutely convinced that I would lose my mother, and it would be that horrible, horrible sense of death and emptiness. That world, I am sometimes surprised to see that people, there are still people who have no idea, really, no, not convinced at all that there's anything afterwards. But that's because they haven't read what's going on in the world. You know, if they knew what's happening, they would know, both with quantum physics and personal experiences. So I think we've changed tremendously, and no one should have to live in a world where that belief controls us, because it makes the world empty. And that's
right. No, that's true. I agree. And I think that, you know, and that's why I like the show. You know, hopefully people will call in and give us some of their stories, that some really great stories, because they are around us. And people are always like, maybe that was a coincidence. Well, you know, I hate when somebody tells you that and says, well, I think it's just a coincidence. It's like, instead of saying that, why don't they just say, well, you know, I think that's possible. I think that can happen. And then you're opening that door, which is really important, because you're allowing, you know, sort of the adjustments to be made around you so that you become more open, and that then you have more expectations that at first you might not have believed. And now all of a sudden the doors open and they start coming through more. Or there's something else unusual that happens. And I just love when, you know, like something comes through, whether in whatever form. And I think that, you know, that's really important. And I've had a couple of little experiences, but, you know, lately, but it's really interesting because I kind of am to the point where now I just smile. You know, I'm like, thank you, I appreciate you coming through. You know, sometimes I'll laugh if something happens. But I think that you need to remember too, that anytime anything comes through for you, anytime, whether you dream it, if you have a dream, whether you felt someone around you, whether you heard a voice, whether something, you know, moved, whether whatever the story may be, whether you had a sign or a symbol, you know, these are all extraordinary moments. And that when we open to them, it opens that door for more moments to come through. And it's very, you know, you have to remember and allow that feeling to come through, how comforting it is. Sometimes it's kind of a shock when something happens, you know, but it's also, you know, allowing us not to have limitations on what can happen out there. You know, I've had all these weird experiences happen, and it's like you just by opening that door and being aware and, you know, letting go of limitations, you can have so much more.
Yes, and I love the saying that we can only see what we believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that, exactly.
And other when if we don't really think that there's something possible, we're not really open, then I don't think we can see it. And that's when we start reducing everything to coincidences, you know, which our world has done for a few centuries. And it's been very, very harmful. So, yes, I think, you know, the more we read or the more we hear other people's experiences, it opens us a little bit to believing so that we can see, so that we can see when this comes through. And sometimes there aren't signs or symbols. It's just simply a feeling, you know, that you just feel comfortable. You're not in grief, you know, you just know everything is okay.
That's right.
Right. Well, let me, I want to give the number out again in case somebody, if someone hasn't, you know, gotten it, it's 1-888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. And if you want to call in and share some of your extraordinary personal experiences, we would love to hear from you. So that would be great. So yeah, and okay, we'll continue on until someone calls. But I, when you were talking about, you know, when you see something and to understand it, I think that I wrote something down a long time ago. I'm not sure what book I got this out of or where it came from, but I put, we live on the surface until we are plugged into a deeper reality. And I thought that is exactly what happens when a loved one passes. We're suddenly plunged into this reality that we didn't experience before, or it's been, you know, a long time, or it's been someone really close to us. And we suddenly, you know, have to learn to live in this different reality. And then at that time, it also opens you up. And, you know, like I, you know, as I say, pay attention, but even in something like this, your whole reality is shifted. And now all of a sudden, you're becoming more aware of what's around you. And, you know, when somebody says, gosh, I just knew they were there. And I had this happen to me a month ago. I knew on this one day, somebody I love, they were with me all day and I received signs all day long. And they were really cool signs. And it was just so amazing that I started shaking at one point. And I thought, okay, if everyone could just be open to experience this, because we can all do that. Everyone can do that. Then, I mean, just think of how beautiful and wonderful our world could be in that, you know, that aspect.
Yes, I love how you describe it, that we are plunged into an experience that we don't ask for, we think, that we don't want, that we would have thought earlier would destroy us.
Yeah.
And that does something. It can open us up to just the most amazing experiences, or it can close us down forever. But if we just do what you say, you know, open up, then yes, having been thrown into this very different world where we think we couldn't possibly live, very often something emerges. In fact, I think always there's the possibility that something amazing will emerge out of that chaos.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, with, you know, all these, the fires that were happening in LA and, or, you know, all around there in California, I was thinking, somebody had mentioned something about, I noticed on TV they were talking and they had lost everything. And I was sitting there and I thought, you know, and they made a comment of how they still had their lives, which, you know, that was the most important. And I agree. And I also was thinking how with them losing all these pieces of them in the home, you know, I don't know, you know, I have like a lot of crystals and I have a lot of different, you know, we all have a lot of different things in our home that hold energy. And to me, I was thinking about all the energy that had dissolved into the earth because of these fires that were, that, you know, all this, I guess, material items that people owned. And yes, they are just material items. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, they all hold energy. And I was thinking about how much energy people lost from that, from their homes, and how that had to also shift. You know, it shifts the perspective anyway because of the fire. But even so, the items that you think about that and you're like, and that's a big thing for people. And I know that, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, being alive was the most important. but you can't help but feel sorry for the items and the material things that they lost, because they also held energy and that was part of their life. Exactly. And you're losing it, and that does make a difference. Oh, wait, we have a caller. Let me go ahead and take this caller.
Okay, but let's come back to that because that's very important.
Okay, this is Jessica from Los Angeles. Are you on the line?
Yes, hi. Yes, I'm
hi.
Here.
Hi. Would you like to share a story?
Yeah, I have many stories to share. So I don't even know where to begin. Would you like to ask me a question? And maybe that might help guide.
No, why don't you just share a story that you wanted to share? What made you call in? What was it that you wanted to contribute to?
Well, I know that a lot of times people question whether the things that happen are real or not, but I have had so many moments that I feel like I just have this ongoing conversation with my son, who passed away, and I guess I would say that the first encounter that I had with him after he passed was within a few weeks of his passing. I had consistently felt the need to have one more conversation with him, hug him one more time, and I had this dream where I was guided into this room, and it was a very vivid dream. And when I went into the room, it seemed like the walls were rice paper walls and there was no floor, and then all of a sudden he came into the room, and you know, I just felt like I was having a really, you know, pliable visitation with him, and woke up crying. And after that happened, I just kept having instances where either a favorite song of his, a picture, a sensation just kept popping up. And another story that comes to mind is, there was one time my husband and I were going on a date, and we were kind of, you know, excited and giddy. It's like, oh, we're finally going on a date. It's been so long. And the corner of my eye, I see this kid walking from the flower shop with a bouquet in his hand, and his silhouette looked just like my son. And wow. I felt like, oh, he's acknowledging our excitement of going on a date. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a coincidence, but it's nice. Hello. And we get to the restaurant, and in front of our table where we're eating, there's this kid that's wearing a shirt exactly like his. And I'm like, okay, I'll take that as a hello. He's here with us while we're having dinner. And I'm like, but if this is really a hello from him, there's got to be another thing that says it's him. And not long after I had that thought, the person that was doing live music started playing one of his favorite songs.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, you know what? And that is what is so beautiful, is that you were open and you were aware and paying attention to what was happening. And he was just, you know, throwing another one, like, okay, mom, you want another sign? I'm going to give you another sign. And I think that is beautiful. That is so cool. I love hearing that, because he was on it, you know, and you were paying attention and you got another one, and you're like, oh, and I love that it was like placed right in front of you. It wasn't like you're trying to figure out what it is. It's like, it's right there, which is beautiful.
That is. I really
I really felt like he was living the experience with us, you know.
Nice. Yeah, I like that he's kind of with you on that day. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So celebrating.
Well,
and then
you know what? Go on.
Oh, I was gonna say, moments like that have repeated themselves so many times that I'm convinced now that you know, he knows what's happening in my life. He communicates with me, and I just have to be aware of when the communication is happening.
Be aware. Right. That's the Janet's slogan again, mantra. It's true, and you are. That's what's beautiful about it. You wonder, you know, so many people probably have those things happen, and they're in grief, and they don't see it, or they won't take it seriously.
Right. Well, yeah. And you have a relationship now, too, with him on the other side, which what I love about that is that you know he's still there, and he let you know time after time, but part of it does take, you have to be open and accept it, and not, if you're questioning all the time, it makes it that much harder. If you simply accept it, it becomes, I guess, I don't want to say easier, but it becomes more open, you know, and you become more open, and you're aware of it. And now, you know, whenever he's coming through, you know, something's going to happen. You don't even have to question because you already know that's going to happen, you know? And I think that's what's so beautiful about the story is that he knows when to come by, when to, you know, drop in, and he knows when to, you know, show you because you're aware then, or you're open. And I think that that's really great because it shows that you still have communication with him. You're still connecting, and it's always there. And I try to tell people that it's always there. It doesn't mean just because it might be a while, it doesn't mean it's not there. I mean, my grandmother came through, like, I think 10 or 12 years later after she passed. I mean, it floored me, but it was amazing. So it's kind of like they're still around, and they come to you when you need it, or they come to you, you know, just like, it's kind of playful at times almost, you know, and that's what makes that connection continue. Like, okay. And he wants to help make you more relaxed and settle into the fact that he's not here on the earth anymore, but he's still here. And that's important, you know?
And
yeah.
I'd like to think,
yeah. And oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I won't forget where I am.
I was going to say, a lot of times they happen when I'm on the happier side of things. Like when we were so giddy about going on our date, we were on a happier aspect of things, you know? So yeah, it's interesting the timing of when it happens. But I was going to say, I think the other side wants to communicate with us as much, but they just have a bigger challenge, I guess, in a way, because we're sort of ignorant to their attempts.
Yeah, I think, well, and I think that we're not paying attention, you know, we're just not open, and people aren't paying attention, and they think it doesn't exist, and it really does, you know. But I'm sorry, Betty, right. Go ahead. You have something you wanted to share.
Oh, I was just thinking, you know, when you spoke of your son, Jessica, that, you know, I had a son too, who died at 20 years old. And I thought, you know, I had that feeling that, he really was in another dimension, doing work. I felt very clearly that he was working on that side, that there was, that he had left for very concrete reasons, reasons, and that he was doing his work on that side. And that the times that we connected was an assurance, you know, that yes, he was present, but that he had to be in another dimension to do the work, but that we were still connected and still in so many ways working together, and that the love binds us forever. This show and others with so many young people have left, you know, and made contact. It's
And that reminds me, when you say them working on the other side, he had like this deep interest in interdimensional stages and communications and travel, and he was also very big into superheroes, and it had already started, the trend had already started, but after he passed, the movie trend continued more and more, and I just felt like, I know he had to be tapping into those producers or writers or whoever it is, and giving them ideas, because it related so much, and it just expanded on the stuff that he was so interested in.
Yes, and I think that some of the messages that people have been getting is that they can do that from the other side more easily than they can from this side sometimes. You know, sometimes we're just listening to space here, but on the other side, they can pass information through and influence in a way that they couldn't on this side.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, what I thought was really interesting, how you said he would come through a lot when you were happy. And that is a beautiful message to everyone, because he was letting you know that he's really happy when you're happy. And he's coming through to let you know that as well. And I think that is really beautiful, you know, and that's a great message for anybody. Because, and don't get me wrong, I know that, you know, losing someone, you are in grief. It does, you know, it is overpowering and overwhelming. But I also feel like he was sharing that message of saying, hey, you're happy. I want to let you know I see that and I'm happy too. And then that's just going to help make you continue to be happy at things, you know? So that's a great message for everyone.
Yeah, it's like it opens up the space for the energy to flow through.
Right.
Yeah. And the pain is still there, but I'm not, you know, whenever it is that I feel it, I let the pain out. I cry if I need to, whatever it is. But then, yeah, it gives me room to have moments of joy as well and try to live as normal of a life as I can.
Yes. And one thing that we learn is that we can be in deep grief at the same time we can be in great joy. I really think that both are possible. You know, they're both within us. I mean, we may be aware we're experiencing one, but we can go into the other, but they're both there. It doesn't, one doesn't negate the other, in other words.
Right.
Well, and you know, and also, like, I always think in my head too, with grief, there is no timeline. So there's nothing that when somebody says, oh, you know, you've been so sad for so long. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way. It's like, there's no timeline. If you're going through it, cry. If you need to cry it out, cry. And if you need to laugh, if you need to, you know, get mad or whatever you need to do, and just let it out so that you can, you know, release that energy and move forward with it. And I think that that's a really important thing that, you know, it's very healthy. It sounds like everything, like what you're doing, it's very healthy with, you know, acknowledging the grief and also finding that joy. And I think he gave a wonderful message. I still, I'm, in my head, I'm going back to that he gave this beautiful message that when you're happy, he's happy, and he wants to drop in and let you know that. And that's beautiful.
Yeah, the world needs to experience happiness and joy. You know, we just need to have those experiences. They're very creative in ways we can't even imagine, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
have another,
I agree.
Jessica, for us, before you go, do you have something else you can tell us?
Another story?
Yeah, sure.
So my son died 4 years before my husband died. And by the time my husband died, I already had this communication flow with my son. So my husband's passing helped me with communicating with him as well. And I have had some great moments when the two of them show up together. So,
oh, that's so
I think... Yeah, I think it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
That's pretty special.
I would like to say that's my experience too. Is that my son died, and 2 years later, my husband was also killed in an automobile accident, and so we had a lot of experiences with our son while my husband was alive, and then when he was no longer here, the two of them came together. So it's a similar experience.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You too.
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing. So now I feel like I communicate with both of them, you know, consistently.
Yeah. And you know they're together, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that's the comforting part. Like I knew that at least they're together. And when my son died, it really hit my husband super hard. It hit us both hard. But I coped with it differently than he did. And so I guess in a way I feel relief that now he's released some of that pain.
Absolutely.
Right. I agree. Well, we thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate, you know, your contribution here tonight.
Yeah, beautiful experiences, Jessica.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for the beautiful stories.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Sure. Thank you.
Janet, let's go back to what you were saying about things. You know, we often say, oh, well, it was just things. And that's true. But you said something very important, which I think needs to be realized and acknowledged, because we, you know, we're here in California. The fires weren't right around us. They were in the town where I had taught for years at the college, and I think there are 36 families from the college that lost their homes. And then wow. JPL and Caltech, many, many faculty members and students lost their homes. And then many, many people who weren't working in those particular institutions. I just was aware of those institutions. And of course, people were happy that their homes weren't burned and feeling horrible for those who had. And yet there was always, well, it's just things. But I mean, the home is our sanctuary, and it's where our heart is, in a sense. And as you said, there are so many objects in our homes, in most cases, that have so much energy in them and connections with people we love and experiences that I found myself thinking, you know, California, we could have a fire right up in the mountains here, and realizing that we all have to come to a point in which we can let everything go. We know we have to do that with the people we love, and we know that we have to do that with our homes sometimes. But I thought myself, you know, that if our home burned here now, at my age, I could never build back again. I could never get the library that I have and all of the connections to people that the books have, you know? Right. And so I would have to figure out how to recreate my life in a very short time for the time that I have left, and without those sacred objects, because objects do hold energy. You are so right about that. So I'm grateful that we have our home. But I'm also so aware, and I think we need to be aware, that people are suffering in ways that maybe aren't acknowledged, that
right.
energy items that they relate to and share energy with are no longer with them. And that takes a big adjustment, huge adjustment. I'm so glad you brought it up, because there are thousands and thousands of people who are going through that. Now, some have said, you know, I look back and I thought, okay, there's nothing that I really can't part with, you know. But I think that for many, there's a whole lifetime of energy in so many things around us, you know, even the people outside and, the, you know, everything. So, yeah, I think we just really have to know that many people are going to be and are suffering from that as well as not having a toothbrush, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, and you know, I was just like thinking when they were showing all of these pictures, because, you know, I'm not anywhere around there, but I'm in the Midwest, and when they're showing all these videos and pictures on, you know, social media or TV, and I'm thinking, you know, thank goodness that so many of them are alive. I know there's been a number of people that have lost their lives, and I was thinking about how the people that were here and they lost everything in their home, and like you said, everything, yeah, you can replace things, you don't need them, you don't have to have them. But there's an energy that you hold in your home, and or you hold in certain items, or, you know, whatever it may be, crystals or whatever you love. And that when all that goes to dust, that energy is now like a residual energy. It's not there for you, tangible for you to hold anymore. It's, you know, just like when you lose a loved one and you feel like there's a residual energy in your home, or where, you know, people talk about that and they're still around, and you're thinking, okay, so what does that do to someone's, their soul, or to their, you know, like, how do they go forward? And yes, when they don't have it, and you do think, like, you know, there's a word my mother-in-law used to always use, which was discombobulated. And I think, okay, those people all have to feel that way, and they have to start over, and they have to rewire, you know, everything that they have been going through all their life. And now that's gone. And you kind of think of like the phoenix rising up through the ashes. That's what you have to, you have to become that. You have to rise up through that and kind of create a whole new life. And so I find that really interesting with that whole situation of now all these people are recreating a new life that they never thought they had to. And now they are doing it. And all the changes, you know, that are now being made. So I just go into all these different little, you know, boxes.
I think it's just very important that we know that with the people, and certainly we know people, obviously, who are going through that now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important, you know, because it's so easy for people to say, well, you know, it was just material and thank God we're alive, and that's true. But there are so many spiritual connections to matter, because matter isn't just material. It also has spirit in it. And we've made connections with that in material things. It's not being materialistic. It's just simply, as you've described it, Janet, that we have actually spiritual connections to so many things, whether they're crystals or other stones or
photographs.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Just photographs that are, you know, someone who lived in the house and they've passed, and now the house is gone, and you're feeling either, you know, like, oh my gosh, now I really lost it. It's like, well, they need to know that their loved ones are still around, no matter where they're going to go, no matter where they go.
Right.
You know, it's, they're not going to just follow that house. They're going to go with the person.
And you have to recreate it. It's true. Mm-hmm. And I saw a man on television, and he said, I'm 81. I can't recreate the life. I can't, but I can't do that now at my age. And I was saying to Kim, you know, I said, I feel that it would be very difficult to do. I know that when we have to do it, we have to do it. And she said, oh, yes, you would. You'd get yourself together and you'd get down at some table somewhere and you'd start working.
Right. You would.
Well, but, you know, I think no matter what we do in that rising up again, we have to recreate many different relationships to not only each other, but the world and our work and the way we do it. And you know, that's what the Native people, the land where they were was sacred. It was important. They had spiritual connections to the land, to the trees, to the rivers, to the mountains. And they knew that. They knew that there was a spiritual connection to these natural places and objects. And I think we haven't realized that. And I think there's a suffering that will be taking place that needs to be acknowledged with so many people who are going through that.
Right, right. And I need, well, let me give out the phone number real quick, and then I'm going to add to that story. The call-in numbers are 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. Okay, now to continue with our story while we're waiting for a caller. When I was saying that too about when, you know, you lose something and people move and they think, oh my gosh, my loved ones, you know, was in that house with me. They're never going to find me. They will find you. They are with you. They're not with the house. They could, you know, the residual energy could be in the house, but they are still with you. And I think it's been really important to remind people too that, you know, if you want to move, if you, you know, people are like, well, I don't know if I want to move because, you know, my mother was here and da, da, da. And I'm like, no, you know, they will be around you no matter where you are. I mean, haven't you ever been on vacation and felt a loved one? I mean, that's how it works. They travel with your energy. They're not worried about where you're living. They want to be around your energy. And, you know, when you have kind of like you know, I think of it like a lighthouse, a light going out to them saying, hey, you know, I really need you to today. Just give me a sign or whatever it may be. Or when you have time, you know, that's how it works. They feel your love. They feel your energy. And that's how they connect to you. And I still, I'm going back to when Jessica called in about, you know, when she's happy, he comes through. And I think that is a really cool thing, because I think it's to remind us that we need to find those little happy moments. And it opens you up into a different energy as well. And I think that by doing that, then more comes through. And I'm not saying you can't grieve. I mean, everybody grieves. But sometimes when you grieve, we grieve when we're so caught up in grief that, you know, you might miss something because you're in that world. So you have to let go, and they will come back. They will let you know a sign. They will give you something. But I think it's just really important. And I always find these, you know, funny little things that happen. And I think, oh, that's so cool. I'm like, I wish somebody was here with me right now so I could be like, look what just happened, you know, but it doesn't always work that way. So, you know, that's the thing too.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree that, you know, that we're we can be connected to spirit wherever we are, you know, and also to those we love who are on the other side, we can connect with them. But we're in a material world and we live and shape sacred spaces, you know, in this world. And those are important. But ultimately, we're called to do it with absolutely nothing. We have to remember we're always connected to spirit, always connected to those we love.
And how cool is that? I mean, it really is. It's really beautiful that we have our loved ones out there that I don't think they know what we're doing 24/7. I mean, if they do, for me, they're probably bored and falling asleep constantly, but I think that they are around and they want us to, you know, keep moving forward and keep discovering and trying new things. And, you know, they want us to find that joy in life and they want to help us through that. And I think that's what's really cool. And I think when you have a really neat experience come through, it kind of boosts you up and lifts you up, you know?
Yeah, it's someone was reminding me of something I had said, I think, in Miracle, the Miracle of Death. And that was that I had an experience in a vision that my son returned. And we were in the I was in the kitchen cooking breakfast. And he came in and he had a white Tibetan shirt that I had had, but he took over because he liked it. He was wearing that. And he had in his old worn out Nike shoes. But he walked into the kitchen and I was so pleased to see him. And we embraced. And I expected that my arms would just go right through him because he was spirit, but it was just the opposite. He was more solid than I was. The spirit world had more essence than the material.
So good.
Yeah.
That you had talked about in one of the episodes of the Miracle of Death video series, and the title of it was, What is Real Anyway?
Oh, yeah. What is real?
And he said to you, that story,
oh,
he's like,
right.
He had the dirty old Nikes on, and you had said.
Oh, yeah, I said, what do you have dirty Nikes on? I bought a new pair for you before you left. And he said, am I not real enough? So the question, yeah, that was a similar video I did, I guess, of what is real anyway? Well, it certainly was a lesson for me.
Right. He was solid and you were not.
And I was not. The material world is much more ephemeral than the spirit world.
It's such a good ephemeral.
Yeah, and it was a great lesson for me. But, you know, that's what we think here, that, oh, matter, it's... No, no, it's not. I mean, it's... But the spirit world is source. It is. It's eternal. And this is... We come in and we go out.
Right. I have to tell you, I bookmarked a page in your book again. And there's this one little, I'll read it. And I think this is really cool. It's page 91 in chapter 5. It says, all of these images and symbolic realities can appear on our path as we journey to the center of our wholeness. If we refrain from denying their reality and allow ourselves to be open to these powerful forms of energy, love, and consciousness, we will be transformed. And that is so true.
I do like that.
Who wrote that anyway?
You wrote that, Betty. I told you I have all these little things in the book, and I opened it up. It was really funny. About maybe 15 minutes before I sat down, I'm like, you know, I'm going to pull out your book, and I just opened this page, and I was reading it, and I was like, this is perfect. I'm like, because this is so true. You know, I mean, we do. We talk about the energy. It's, you know, our loved ones coming through. They're, you know, sharing fun stories or something amazing or, you know, almost unbelievable. And it's just kind of, it can be overwhelming at times, but I think when all this comes together, we can be transformed by what is going on around us. And, you know, it's our loved ones that help us do that.
I absolutely agree. And I think that, you know, when we are, as you said, plunged into another reality, we begin to ask questions. I mean, if we haven't asked those questions before, very often that is what will cause us to ask the question, what is the meaning of all of this anyway? And what has happened to the person I love? And in the Grail legends, which is certainly about finding our sacred center, it was so clear that if we ask the question, once we come to the point that we want to know what is the meaning of all this? That we've asked the question, the gate is opened, and we are in that labyrinth. And if we stay on the path, we will get to the center. It's not a maze that'll trick us. We stay on the path. And each event on the path is there for us to help us on our journey, to help us to wake up and remember the vastness of who we are. Do we have a caller?
Yes, we do. We have a caller. We have Tim from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. Sorry about that. Tim, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Hi. Yes, we can. Would you like to share your personal experience?
Sure. I don't think these things are as profound as some other folks, but I thought you haven't had a whole lot of callers, so I thought I would just call in with these experiences that I've had.
Well, we love it. Let's hear it.
And there are actually four of them. And,
okay. Well,
you know,
we only have 15 minutes.
Yeah, these are quick. I've done a lot of reading on the afterlife, and I've talked to people about it. You know, my bottom line is something is going on that we don't normally experience, and that's what these stories would be. So, real quick,
we had
my wife's grandmother passed away, and my wife is not one for visiting cemeteries. But the only time that we've been to the cemetery, which was about 5 or 6 years after she died. Shortly thereafter, my wife was going through some spare change that she had in her pocket. She says, look at this coin. And this coin was a silver coin, absolutely clear as day, 1899 on the coin. And this is maybe 15 years ago.
Wow.
And the deal is that my wife's grandmother was born in 1899, and she died in 1999 at the age of 99. She collected...
Wow.
Liberty dimes, and this looked like a Liberty dime, but when I investigated it, it was actually a penny from 1899, but it wasn't an Indian head penny, which would have been brown. It was silver like the Liberty dimes, but it was a penny, a rarer type penny from then. So that's one experience. My dad told me when I was a young kid that he had a recurring dream as a child, that he saw the number 789 up on the clouds. He thought those were his lucky numbers. He played them in the lottery and never won with them. I thought from the time that he said it to me that it somehow predicted his death. And I was a young kid at that point. And so when September of 87 came around, which is 789 backwards, September being the ninth month, I thought maybe this is it. And he was older and nothing happened. In July, the seventh month, July, right? July 8th, 1990, he's in the hospital dying. And I thought he'd die on that day. And he didn't. He died July 19th, 1990. And, you know, 19, 1, 9 minus 1 is 8. And I said, you know what? That doesn't make any sense. A couple of days after he died, I was sitting in his chair in the living room. And, you know, you're numb after somebody dies. You don't think about anything. All of a sudden, boom. Out of nowhere, and I had thought about this 789 periodically throughout my whole life, boom, it hit me that my dad was 78 years old in the year 1990. So that experience. We're over a friend's house, and I had actually written this man's obituary, still very good friends with his son, who was the best man at our wedding. We've been married for 30 years. And my wife says to me, did you put this in my purse? And I said, what are you talking about? She says, there's a kiwi in my purse. I said, I don't need kiwi. You don't need kiwi. We've been married 30 years. We've never bought a kiwi. How did you get a kiwi in your purse? She says, I don't know. We go to my friend Sam, and we were convinced that he must have played a joke, put it in there. He swore up and down he'd never put the kiwi in the purse, but he said my dad loved kiwis. And this was after his dad had passed. Final story. My parents' bed faced a bathroom that was off of their bedroom. My mother is 6 days overdue in the middle of January and says to my dad, I think this is it. My dad gets on the phone, gets the doctor at that time. The doctors answered the phone about stuff like that. and said, put your wife on the phone. My mother talks to him, put your husband back on the phone. Your wife is in false labor. Go out and get this medication. My father does, comes back no more than 20 minutes later, goes upstairs and calls for my mother, doesn't hear anything, sees the bathroom door half cracked with the light on, opens the bathroom door, and there we are, me and my mom.
Wow.
She gave birth to me by herself, first full-term pregnancy. But here's the deal. Their bed had faced that bathroom, and about a week before I was born, my dad wakes up and sees a vision of his mother supposedly hovering above the bathroom door, raises her hands up above her head, and then brings them down to her side and disappears. My grandmother was a midwife. That's one of the things that she did. And my dad wakes up my mother and says, yeah, I just saw my mom here. I just saw her. My mother's like, you know, you're dreaming. Go back to sleep. Didn't mean anything. He thought it was a dream until I was born in that location.
Oh, my God.
So that very quickly is those four things.
Oh, wow. I like those stories very much.
Yeah, I think they're great stories. I mean, I think they're great for, you know, visions of what I like that a lot of them had, you know, the material aspect to them, too, with the kiwi and with the coin. And I think that, you know, that's really cool.
Yeah,
so
I tell people the literature talks about butterflies, but I've never seen anything about kiwis.
I know who would think a kiwi, but I love the fact that she was there as a midwife to help your mother. I mean, that's beautiful.
Well, that was her. That was the image that my dad saw. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine 6 days overdue and, you know, diagnosed over the phone, false labor? And my mother, by the way, was a very petite woman. She weighed 115 pounds, 9 months pregnant with me, and I was an 8-pound baby.
She did some help, you know, whether from the other side or here.
I think so. My sister and I laugh about this because my sister came along about 4 years later. And, you know, my mother made it to the hospital at that point. And the nurse was describing to my mother what would happen. And my mother said, just give me the anesthesia. I've been there and done that, basically. And my sister came
in. I know already, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, those are
2 hours
stories.
And 15 minutes from my sister. And so my sister, when she gave birth to her first child, was all packed, all ready to go, thinking this is going to be fast. And unfortunately, 13 hours of labor for her. She was not happy.
Wow, yeah.
That's
oh,
a
my
great
gosh.
Story. Well, those are great stories. I'm so glad you called to tell us them. And
we love those. Thank you for sharing them.
Well, you're quite welcome. Quite welcome.
That's
take care.
We keep talking to you, but it's time that we have to get going tonight.
That's right. It's time for our closing in a moment.
Yes, we can go ahead and go, and we will tell Tim thank you, and we will we can talk about him next month and his good story. So, we will end with the Mahayama prayer. May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe, and may we together complete the spiritual journey. And that's it. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. See you next month.
Thank you.